Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Jerry's here, and this is Short, Short, Short Stuff. The
Hello.
Stuff so short, I said short three times.
Did we do a full episode on this guy?
Yeah, we did. Who is the man of the hole? And I think it was within the last 3 years, maybe 4 years. I would guess it was probably around 2018 because that's when they released that video of him and everybody became aware that this man even existed.
Right. So this is a bit of a recap and for sure a lot of tribute to a gentleman named the man of the hole is what he was called. Mm-hmm. He was he lived by himself in total isolation for 26 years on his indigenous land in the Amazon rainforest, the Tanaru indigenous land. And very sad to say the man of the hole has passed away.
Yeah, and they think roughly at mid-50s, maybe age 60 tops. He was discovered by a FUNAI agent. FUNAI is Brazil's indigenous protection agency. And FUNAI had been basically tracking him quietly for the last 26 years. And the reason that they call him the man of the hole is because that's what FUNAI calls him. He digs holes, or he used to dig holes. Certainly some were for animal traps, but they think some, sadly, were for protection from attack from other people, I should say. But the reason they called him the man of the hole is because no one, literally no human being on Earth, aside from that man, knew what that man's name was.
That's right. He lived on about 20,000 acres of forest that eventually became protected, and thus he was protected. He at one point had his people. We don't know what tribe he was from. We don't know what language he spoke. Mm-hmm. We do know that his people were likely killed by invaders. I think the last people that they think he had was about six people with him. They were all killed, leaving him alone. And finally, that land and his lifestyle was protected. And as much as I don't even, we'll get to sort of the ins and outs of even peeking in on somebody like this and whether or not that's the right thing to do, because that is sort of a thorny issue. But he passed away on August 27th. No signs of struggle. They believe he died of natural causes. This is another sort of thorny thing. They're going to do a forensic examination of his body, which I get. I think there could be some value there to see what someone who lived in isolation might die of. Obviously, there are genetic things that can still happen, but in any sort of man-influenced death is probably not the likely cause. But my favorite part about this story is that he died in his hammock, and he had covered himself with bird feathers, with macaw feathers, because he knew he was dying. And that just sounds like a really peaceful, lovely way to go.
Yeah, it is. But again, like if he was 60 and this guy was living like about as healthy a life as a human being can live, you would think that seems really young. But yeah, the fact that he was covered in macaw feathers and there wasn't any sign that anyone else had been around him definitely certainly does point to the idea that he was awaiting death and a new death was coming.
So, should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's do that, and we'll come back and dig some more into this.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime, and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
All right. So you mentioned a 2018 video, which was probably around the time we did our first episode on The Man of the Hole. This was in July of that year on Facebook. Survival International posted a video of him from a distance chopping down a tree. But this is from 2011. They sat on this footage for 7 years. And, you know, they found out some things about him over his life, which is that and some of it since he has left us, abandoned campsites. This was the 53rd thatch hut that he had built, mm-hmm. at least over the past 26 years. Holes everywhere, holes inside these huts. So they're getting little clues on how he lived his life a little bit now that he's passed.
Yeah, he was not just a hunter-gatherer. He was also a farmer, too. He farmed corn, manioc root, papaya, bananas. And he also was a great hunter, apparently, with his bow and arrow and also those holes that he put stakes in. What are they called? Like tiger traps?
No, I don't know. That sounds good.
But he used those to like catch wild boar. So this is how this guy was living. Again, by himself for 26 years, he did not, as far as we know, have any contact with anybody, despite Funai trying to make contact with him after he became the last surviving member of his tribe. Because when they tried to initiate contact, they brought him some gifts and they basically went and visited him at his home. And he apparently flipped out. They said he was terrified and very aggressive and was clearly not at all happy that they were there. So from that moment on, Funai said, we're never contacting this man again. We're going to track him. We're going to make sure that he's okay. But we're going to keep our distance both for his own comfort, but also for his safety too, because one of the problems is people from outside of the Amazon coming into contact with an uncontacted tribe bring a lot of germs that the uncontacted tribe has no defenses against whatsoever.
Yeah, and that sort of brings up a little bit of what I mentioned before, which is what do you do in a situation like this? Do you go in and try and vaccinate people to try and keep them safe? Do you try and completely leave them alone? Do you give them these gifts like they would? They would give them seeds, apparently, and small tools occasionally, which apparently he rejected. He never, or at least rarely, took the gifts. Yeah. You know, it is sort of a moral question that I don't think is super easily answered. I think leaving someone alone like that is for sure probably the best route. Yeah. But what does leave someone alone really mean? Like, is even spying in and tracking them too much?
Well, so yeah, you could definitely argue that like his privacy was being invaded, whether he was aware of it or not, and that in and of itself like robs him of some of his dignity. But the reason Funai was doing this wasn't just for their, you know, own jollies or anything like that.
Right.
The way that Brazil's government set up protection of indigenous lands was you had to verify through a sighting that an uncontacted tribe existed. And I guess Funai thinks there's about 113, 114 uncontacted tribes living in the Amazon still, but they're only aware of something like 23. They've only confirmed 23. So only 23 are protected. And that protection is only continued when there's a sighting within a certain amount of time. Every, like, say, 3 years, they have to be sighted. So that's why they were tracking him like that.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea of protection is not just here, take this vaccine to help protect you from sickness. One of the articles I read was talking about the fact that these parts of the jungle are not just free of people. There are bad people in there. There are drug dealers and poachers, and people use this place for cover. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're completely alone. They're just living, you know, their indigenous lifestyle, ideally away from the bad people.
Yeah, so those bad people apparently are the reason why he was living alone for 26 years. And Funai pieced together probably what happened to his tribe from local residents in the area around where he lived. And they said that in the 70s, they believed that most of the tribe was killed because they were given poisoned sugar, probably by ranching interests that were invading the area. Which would explain why he would accept zero gifts from anybody when they tried to give them to him in the 90s. And then in 1996, the other six, I think he was one of seven survivors. And in like 1995 or six, the six others were gunned down. And from that moment on, for the next, 26 years, he lived by himself.
Ooh. Yeah, it kind of cracks me up when I think of, love all those survival shows, Alone, and all those shows where they're like, we made it 100 days.
Right.
What an experience, even with our, you know, modern tools.
Right.
And this guy's like, what, 100 days?
Right.
That's what he said. He went, what? I've been out here for 26 years.
Right. You cracked the code. His language was not lost after all. So the thing is, Chuck, is in addition to those tools, not just making it, being alone, having no one to talk to, no one to interact with. Like, how would you not crack up in that sense? Even though you have an area that's almost as big as the entire Disney World Resort, bigger than the entire island of Manhattan to wander around, you're still wandering around it by yourself on your own. That would be the hardest thing of all, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as leaving people alone, like, as a curious individual, part of my brain says, oh, I would love to have seen a documentary on this guy's day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. Because it's so fascinating to me. But the other part of my brain says, no, Chuck, that's the wrong instinct. Like, leave him alone.
Yeah. So Brazil officially did say, we will leave these people alone when we discover an uncontacted tribe. We will cordon off their indigenous lands and just leave them alone. The problem is they have a president right now called President Bolsonaro, and he has done everything he can to roll back every protection that he can find that protect indigenous lands and indigenous people, and instead open the Amazon up to ranchers and loggers and miners and just basically chew through the Amazon at an even faster rate that it was being chewed through before. So they think that, I should say, Funai believes that probably more and more uncontacted tribes are going to go extinct, including some that we will have never confirmed and never even knew about. And by extinct, we're saying, like, they're being massacred. They're genocides that are being carried out day to day, year to year in the Amazon, so that people can grow plants or graze their cattle there instead for progress. That's what makes this whole thing so heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hats off to you, sir, man of the whole. Not you, Josh.
R.I.P.
My hat's always off to you.
Thanks.
But R.I.P. and just a very interesting story. Does that mean this 20,000 acres is now up for grabs?
So the protection runs out in 2025. It's not clear whether they'll try to roll it back before then. But Funai is trying to say, no, let's just make this particular preserve permanently protected. And who knows what'll happen.
Right.
Depends on who's president, I think.
All right. Well, good yet sad follow-up to this story.
Agreed, Chuck. Good idea. And I guess that means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.